Future Pulse, Patients First, investigating innovative cardiovascular research with a patient-oriented clinical outcome focus. I'm Dr. Thomas Nero, clinical and interventional cardiologist and director of cardiovascular research at CAFC. Good afternoon. This is Dr. Thomas Nero, and welcome to Patient Pulse. Today, I have the honor of speaking with Dr. Matthew Budoff. Dr. Budoff is professor of medicine at the David Geffen School of Medicine at UCLA and the program director and director of cardiac CT at Harbor UCLA Medical Center. Dr. Budoff has been a national leader in primary and secondary prevention trials as well as lipid-lowering trials, but today we're going to be focusing on his work in cardiovascular diagnostic imaging. Dr. Budoff, you've been one of the leaders in the development of coronary calcium scoring and CT coronary angiography. Can you please just give us a little bit of background on where this came from and where you see this as being helpful for the average patient?
Just very simply, a coronary artery calcium score is a non-invasive test, no needles, no injections, no dye or contrast. It just affords us an opportunity to look at the arteries and see if there are plaques in the form of calcification building up. And if there are, we can then approach that with things like aspirin, cholesterol medication, blood pressure control, diet and exercise, what I call the ABCs, to treat those patients before they ever have their first heart attack. So as a what we call the mammogram of the heart, identify the plaque early, get the right people on the right treatments. CT angiography is a little more involved. It requires dye, it requires an IV. It gives us more information though, soft plaque, stenosis blockage. We get a lot more information from that, and I think that's the next step, depending on the results of the calcium score.
Would you limit using calcium scoring in patients with high risk, or do you think this is something that really helps all patients to better assess what their risks are?
I think it's informative across the spectrum. I think the return on investment is probably the highest in the high-risk people because it does two things. One, it tells us, not only are you high risk, you're very, very high risk. And there's a lot of therapies that we can add, but also it helps with compliance and adherence. It makes patients better patients because they understand that they have a problem. I saw a guy this morning, calcium score was 1935, crazy high score, tons of plaque in every artery. His LDL was not well controlled. His blood pressure was pretty good, but he's overweight. He wasn't eating as well as he could. And he's changed just from finding out that score. He's lost 10 pounds. He's changed his diet. We intensified his therapy. And I think he's going to live longer because of it. So I think even the patients who you would deem high risk would benefit by knowing that there's something even more going on. And sometimes we're surprised. We call people high risk and they have no plaque at all. And we're like, you're not that high a risk, right? So we can maybe then, you know, worry about other things in those patients.
Yeah, certainly looking at the disease itself in the arteries is really where the money is, right? We can talk about risk stratification, looking at the Framingham risk factors or whatever, and they're good, but certainly there's got to be something that we're going to add on top of that to be able to gild the lily here a little bit and to better understand where it is for each individual patient. Are you also utilizing this technology in order to determine whether you've been successful with your therapy?
So I do. I believe that a follow-up time point and to see the slope of the change in calcium is still helpful. It's not been incorporated strongly in any of the guidelines, other than maybe getting it every 5 years to see what's going on. But I believe that if you're rapidly progressing, that you're on a slippery slope and that we can add new therapies to your mix. And there's so many great therapies out there now that we need to know who to put on these treatments. And as you said, you know, a picture is worth a thousand words. It's so much more informative than telling somebody they have high blood pressure is to say, not only do you have high blood pressure, but you're getting a lot of plaques in your arteries and we got to do more than just lower your blood pressure.
One of the controversies that's been happening in cardiology over the last 10 years has been the question of utilization of LDL goals. We've put back goals into our guidelines, but are you changing what your goals are depending on what you're seeing in the arteries and either what your coronary calcium scores are or the amount of soft plaque that you're seeing in the CT angiographies?
Absolutely. I use it explicitly for should I start aspirin or not, and how low should I go with my LDL cholesterol. I push LDL further down with each increment of calcium score. So above 100, high risk, I get their LDL below 70. Above 300, secondary risk, or same risk as if they suffered a heart attack, I get their LDL below 55. Crazy high scores over 1,000, I try to get their LDL below 40. So I use it explicitly to help me direct my care. Same with blood pressure. I'm much more diligent with hypertension if their scores are high.
And certainly some of the newest data on the hypertension front is interesting, that we really should be pushing everyone down to 120 over 70, I do believe. But that's a different topic for a different day. A lot of people who are doing primary prevention, myself included, are really moving down our lipid goals. And the old goals that we used to have of less than 70, I think we really need to start throwing out. I've asked this question to a number of people over the years. What do you think the perfect LDL cholesterol is?
I believe it's less than 40. I don't think you need to get to 10 or 6 or 2. I think we need some cholesterol. We're born with LDLs of in the 20s or 30s. And I think that's probably a good physiological place to be. So I try to get LDLs below 40 when I'm very worried about a patient or when a patient's very worried about themselves.
You don't need to answer this, or at least I can edit it out if you don't want anyone to know. But what's your LDL? I've asked this to a couple of other lipid specialists offline, and I was surprised to find out of the four that three of the four had LDLs in the 30s.
Yeah, mine's in the 50s. My calcium score is negative, so I'm on a statin, but I haven't intensified therapy further just because I haven't seen any plaque development. But if I do, I think I would get my LDL into the 30s and start taking a second agent beyond statin monotherapy.
Yeah, my doctor is going to be starting me on a statin as of January 1st. I had to talk her into letting me do that because, again, I have no coronary calcium and no atheroma in my CTA, although there is some evidence of inflammation in the perivascular space. But I'm getting older too, so it's that time, I believe.
It's always going to be better to know personalized medicine rather than population-based. Not everybody with high blood pressure and high cholesterol develop heart disease. And conversely, some people with low blood pressure and low cholesterol do develop heart disease. And the only way you're going to sort those people out is by looking into the heart itself. And that's where the coronary calcium scan or the CT angiogram are going to come into play and help us personalize the approach to each individual that we see.
Well, you've certainly been at the forefront of developing this information. And for all of us, I thank you for all the work that you've done. It really has been groundbreaking and so important and informative in the way that we're looking at coronary artery disease and our ability to evaluate and treat the patients before they start having events. Now that we know that it's really about prevention and plaque stabilization rather than just putting in a stent in order to open up arteries, it's really about the primary and secondary prevention, the medical management that you've been at the forefront of, that's going to change outcomes for our patients. So thank you.
Oh, it's been a pleasure, and thank you for having me on.